I said to a Rav, how lucky a person can be that in the parashot of Yosef, he finds himself in the side of Yosef and not in the side of the brothers. It's so amazing that you can find yourself that mamash, you love everyone and you want to help everyone and people are jealous at you and people not happy with your success and that. Baruch Hashem, so Baruch Hashem, we have that amazing thing. I wanted to read for you something important that I'm going through.
Wow, and the biggest dark.
Chanukah, yes, you prepared me.
Well, that's always the biggest dark.
Resh Kaf. So where is it? Resh Tetvav. So we don't have time even to think about what it goes on in the real world when we have faith. When always we know that there is Hashem, and Hashem Yitzbarach is with us. So I don't say, where is the Torah? We already learned the Torah once. But now I don't find it again. The Torah, wonderful Torah that Rabbeinu is saying, talking about the Gerim that's being converted. And Rabbeinu is saying, Bikesh Yaakov Leshev V'Shalva. Yaakov, he asked to sit in peace and quiet. Kafatz alav rugzo shel Yosef. So then the anger, the judgments about Yosef, what had happened with Yosef, jumped on Yaakov. The real one that suffered in all of that story was Yaakov Avinu. Because the love that the father got to his son is a lot stronger than the love that the son got to his father. No matter how much the son loves his father, the father loves his son a lot more. So many times more that it's crazy. That it's cruelty, mamash, to the father when his son is been divided from him. The father, he feels such pain, such suffering, and this is so many times more, because then the connection is not physical, it's spiritual, and then the loss is horrible, because this is the creation of the Rebbe, it's to have a student. And in the moment that they take this student from him, they took his life. They took all of what that he invested, all of his life, to give to that student da'at, and to take him out from hours of prayers in the fields. He prayed on that student, and not only on him, on all of the students, and pray on them, and investing powers and thoughts, how I'm going to wake them up, what I'm going to do for them. This is his students, and closest students, they are the face of Am Yisrael for him. Especially students that are going and passing that information to the rest of the students, they're worth a lot more for that rabbi. And now Yosef HaTzadik, that he was supposed to go and to be the real king, the king on all of Am Yisrael. And they took him. They took him from Yaakov. Yaakov is lost. Yaakov fell to sadness. Yaakov fell to despair. They said that the Shekhinah left him for all of those years until he heard that Yosef came back. Why? Because before he thought to himself that there is that way of private supervision of midah keneged midah. That everything that you've done, you're going to pay on that. And if you were righteous, you're going to see only good. He was sure that this is how Hashem leads the world. And when he saw that Yosef died, this is what that he assumed, he looked at himself. He done a deep tshuva in the roots, and he never killed no one. He never took no one from no one. And he never had a Pgama Brit, Reshit Oni, this is Reuven. He'd never done something like that. So he thought to himself that he is so far from the Creator that he cannot understand him anymore. And this is it. So he gave up. He gave up. He realized, I cannot understand Hashem anymore. And he felt horrible sadness. Darkness was his share. For years, the lost. Also when Yosef HaTzadik, Rav Shalom explained, that we heard that 10 Arugei Malchut, the 10 righteous people that had been slaughtered by the Romans, died because of that decree of Yosef HaTzadik. Why? Because he haven't forgive 100% to his brothers. And a lot of Mefarshim are asking on it, how can it be that Yosef HaTzadik is not forgiving? Yosef was a man of faith, And we saw that when they came, he forgave them, and he honored them, and respect them, and he loved them. So he did forgive them. And if he wouldn't forgive them, wouldn't have the power to hold on in all of that darkness, in all of that night that he was over there. Where he found all of those powers, because that he was a man of faith, and he knew that this is the will of Hashem, and he was dancing in prison, and he didn't care, and only because he was strengthening himself. So how can we say that in the end he was makpid on them, he was still angry? So Rav Shalom explained that actually he was angry only on one thing he wasn't forgiving. On the fact that they separated him from his father for 22 years. On the loss of Limud Torah that he could achieve to spend time with his father 22 years to be with his father. They divided him from that. On that he wasn't mochel. On that you cannot forgive. You cannot forgive. And what is harder than that? What is even worse than that? That after that the brothers came, for all of the rest of the life of Yaakov, Yosef met him only once when he came, and the last time on his deathbed he came to receive the blessings. Why? Because he didn't want Yaakov to investigate him, to ask him, what happened to you? Where have you been? What happened? For that he was not going to have to tell him on the brothers. For that he sacrificed the distance from his father for more time. This is the hardest thing of them all. That you accept it on yourself to be divided from your Rebbe. That you can bear that. That you can take it on yourself. To sacrifice for what? Only not to hurt the one person in the world. Not to hurt his father that's going to be so disappointed from all of his life factory. That all of his kids sinned and hurt him. And not to hurt his brothers that he really loved them with a complete heart. The fact that he couldn't be mochel, and the fact wasn't stopping him from sacrificing more in his avodat Hashem. Every one of us can find himself in that position, in that point, that you are Yosef HaTzadik, and you need to believe in that. Like that amazing midrash that I explained to you last week, on that that when Adam HaRishon sinned, so there was that horrible decree. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Adam, go away out from exile from Gan Eden. So Adam started to cry. And he told him, how am I going to go out? All of the outsiders, the demons, they're going to eat me. Because he was dressed in cloaks of light. He didn't have a thick body. So he was open,
vulnerable
to all of the mezikim, to all of the demons. He cried to Hashem, they're going to eat me. They're going to tear me to pieces outside. I'm not able to function outside. What am I going to do? So Hashem told him, go take a body from one of the animals in heaven. So he came back to heaven and started to ask all of the animals, can you give me your body? And they're telling him, no way, go away, nothing, no way. And he's going to the next animal, give me your body, please, give. I need. I'm going out, please help me, give me a hand, give me a leg, something, please help. No one gave him nothing. He came back to Hashem Yitbarach, told him, you are umim, I'm naked. I'm naked, I cannot go, I don't know what to do. Hashem told him, go to the snake. He made you to sin, go ask for his body. Adam HaRishon is coming to the snake, tell him, listen, I sinned because of you. Hashem said, you'll give me your body. The snake immediately said, no problems at all, here's the car keys, take it, no problems. Why? He wired all of his snake body and gave it to Adam HaRishon, all of the voices of Yetzirah that you hear from inside, and gave him the body. And now, what he made, the scam that he made is worse than the first scam. The first scam, alright, he sinned. If he's going to do tshuva, he's going to be fixed. Adam wasn't wise enough to do tshuva. But the second scam was even worse. Why it was even worse? Because now, he dressed us with his body. And every time you look at the mirror, you see the snake. And you think, this is me. And you think, you're the snake. All of those bad things that you have, that you don't compare yourself to Yosef HaTzadik, that you don't compare yourself to your ancestors, to who that you really are inside, to the soul that inside you have a righteous man, shouting and screaming, I want to serve Hashem, Mila Hashem Elai, come join me, everyone that wants to serve Hashem, this is you from inside, but it's only inside. Outside you have that contaminated leprosy body of the snake. That is the snake. The Zohar Kadosh is explaining details after details. How did the snake look like? Exactly like us. He was walking on two legs. He was tall. He was standing up. This was him. And the Zohar Kadosh is saying on that body, Mishcha Dechivya.
The contamination of the snake, it's his body. Shot gufcha metzora, remove your body that is contaminated with leprosy. It's the skin of the snake. This is Ora Nachash. Rav Shalom told us once that he was with Rav Berland. Rav Berland, it's an angel. Rav Shalom said, I'm sitting with Rav Berland, and Rav Berland is looking at me and he tells me, Shalom, what's going to be? And I'm looking at him, Rav Shalom is looking at Rav Berland, and he what? What are you talking about, Rav? And Rav Berland is telling him, when we going to go out from that contaminated body? When? He plotted Ora Nachash. When we going to remove the skin of the snake? When? When? And you're talking about a person that doesn't sleep, that doesn't eat, that doesn't care about nothing, threw himself from a second floor because someone wanted to respect him, doesn't care about himself at all, an angel that purified himself, no eating, no drinking. And he's asking, when we going to remove that contamination from us? When you have a war in your life, if you bond, connect yourself, glued yourself to the spiritual point of it, to the sechel, to the wisdom, all of that test just going to remove husks from you. Going to remove all contamination, all arrogance, all stupidity, all everything. Because you see, a person that has got a purpose in his life, he doesn't have time for nonsense. When you open a business and mamash, you're occupied, you need to open it, and mamash, you have so many important meetings, you have to go to the city hall and to open it in the time, in the right time, and you got to go to the printer, and you have stuff. You don't have time for lunch and for meals and for chatting, conversations. Now you built your house. Now you, if you have a purpose in life, who thinks about lust and desires? Who's got time? Who's got time? Who's got time? No one. So when you're focused on something, you don't have that connection to the body. The body is not working on you. If you're listening to your body all of the time, and you have time to listen, boring, and you're lazy and bored, and you hear, oh, I'm sad, I'm hungry, I'll eat up. So you're going to fall lower and lower and lower into that. But if you're saying, I don't want to hear, it's all shtuyot, there is only Hashem. Only Hashem. I'm praying on huge things, on huge things, on huge things I'm praying. And I'm not distracting my thoughts on that. And when I have doubts, I'm doing tshuva on my doubts. On my doubts, on the slightest doubts that I have on Hashem Yitbarach, on that I do tshuva. I'm not doing tshuva on the fact that I'm far from Hashem. I'm not far from Hashem. No one is far from Hashem. Kivodom ala olam, He's here. Can you be far from yourself? Can you be far from infinity when it's all around, inside and outside, the Creator created from Himself? There is nothing except of Him. How can you be far from Hashem? Only in the imaginations. Only in your imaginations. What it means, imaginations? To think that there is no Hashem. All of your lack of faith, this is your imaginations. But if you believe, so you see the truth, that what? That Hashem is here, and He's got all of the powers to conquer the world, to bring Mashiach, to redeem Am Israel, to bring Bet HaMikdash. All of the money of the world is going to flow to Eretz Israel. All of Am Israel is going to do tshuva, going to make Aliyah, spiritual Aliyah. Everyone going to come. What do they have to do there, over there? They have something to do over there? Nothing. Empty places, empty houses, empty streets. I talked to Eliyahu Goldman in New York now, in Brooklyn. He tells me I'm the only person that walks at 2 a.m. in the streets of New York. The only one. Every night doing 6 hours going in the streets. He said, I found myself in a wrong neighborhood of the Afro-American neighborhood. He said, suddenly an Afro-American comes to me, holds a big bag in his hands, asks me, what are you doing here? So Eliyahu told him, talking to Hashem, talking to the Creator. So they sat on the sidewalk for over an hour and talked faith. Talked faith! You think there is any reality? No, you're not allowed in the middle of the night to walk in the streets of New York. Nothing. When you're with Hashem, no one can touch you. No one can touch you. You're with Hashem, you're a lighthouse. You don't see what they see. Look at yourself. You can see yourself, you cannot see yourself. Physically and spiritually. You don't know who you are. You don't know the powers that you have. You don't know. The truth is, you don't know who you are. You know who you are. You know which soul you have. Which soul Hashem gave and put inside of your body. You know? No, it's hidden. The body is hiding your soul, right? This is the secret. That you will not gonna give up from the mercy of Hashem. To believe Hashem loves me. And if I'm not worthy, so what? Is it new? There's no news in it that I'm not worthy. It all depends on the mercy of Hashem. Hashem is mercy. And Hashem wants to have mercy on Am Israel. And we need to reveal it. And we should believe that Hashem wants us to reveal it and to go for it until the end. If we're going to complete it, if we're not going to complete it, who cares? Hashem is going to decide. It's His job to decide. But we, from our side, we need to put all of our powers on that. Not to give up. Not to give up on the truth. On the real truth. Not allow to let no one to lie. Not allow to let no one to do something that is not according to justice. No matter who he is. No matter what he claims. No matter what he says. You need to be a man of truth. To stand up on your truth. On who that you are. Everyone going to call you, you're a thief, you're a liar. Your Yetzirah going to call you. You're a liar. You're a mamash, pathetic. You're the meanest person in the world. You're horrible. Me? You cannot touch me. I'm a holy soul of Hashem Yitbarach. I'm a child of Hashem. I never done nothing bad to no one. I had my Yetzirah. I had my failures. But me, I'm all good. And I am all good. It's not a lie. If you're going to have that merit to go to the field, to do it, but to do it long. I went with Rav Shalom in the end of the prayer in Shabbos, in Shachrit, after the class. I went out, I wait for to kiss the Rav's hand. I hold his hand, I kissed him, he looked at me, he smiled. After a moment he went, I saw his hand and tried to reach me. He left his hand over there in that place, so I hold his hand. He dragged me all the way to his house. He walked with me all of the way. All of the way until we came to his house. 5 minutes it takes him to, with all of the people, all of the public. 10 minutes. We went all together and he's holding me and holding me and holding me. And in the middle what he said? He said, you know what's our problem? All of us, we have the same problem. We don't have enough hours of Itbodedut in the field. This is our only problem. When we have good Itbodedut in the field, nothing can distract our thoughts from faith. We can go through everything. And it's his problem also. He's not lying. He's not saying it for me. Every word of Rav is truth. The Gemara is saying that tefillah is something that needs chizuk, strengthening, right?
Strengthening.
Wow, how you're managing, I don't know. All with your teeth, all complete and everything. Amazing nation. Everyone that Gemara is saying that this is something that always needs chizuk. It's tefillah, it's prayer. Everyone, even the biggest tzaddik of them all, David HaMelech, he sends himself to the field. He's pushing himself to the field. He's sending himself to Hashem, to the field, and he doesn't care and he doesn't look to the sides. Tell me what people have to sell. What people have to offer. You see people that are so-called spiritual guides that are teaching in the computer. You see million views, and they're all liars. And they're lying. But what you need to learn from that people are searching for the truth. The fact that they fell into the trap, into the web net of those liars, it doesn't mean that they're not really searching for the truth. There is a Likutei Moharan that is saying that if a person even was chasing after a false Mashiach all of his life, and he really thought that person is really Mashiach, he thought that this is Mashiach, and he went after him and he sacrificed everything. Likutei Halachot Rabbi Natan is saying that. I woke up from that. If in the end, when he realized that it was wrong, and that it's not Mashiach, and he leave him alone, and he say, alright, so it's not Mashiach, where is the real Mashiach? And he's got the power to do that. He said, all of those years that he was running after that false Mashiach, gonna count for him like that he was Meshamesh helper of Mashiach, of real Mashiach. It's gonna count like that you really were serving Mashiach. And you were serving someone that is in Tuma, someone in the other side. You were all wrong. But if you're shown your real will, to serve Mashiach, the real Mashiach. To be with Mashiach, the real Mashiach. Not Mashiach that people tell you that he's Mashiach. The real Mashiach, the Mashiach of Am Israel, the Mashiach that Borei Olam going to choose. Not the Mashiach that people going to say he's Mashiach. You know how many false rabbis there are in the market? That you can think that they are real rabbis, long beards, long peot, all dressed so well, driving Cadillacs. All lies. All full with lies. all arrogant and contamination, full with scams and lies and niyuf and horrible stuff, horrible lies, all for money, for honor, for power. Disgusting. Ichzar. So disgusting. Those people are going to be punished the most. The most. Why? Because they mislead thousands, all of their flocks, all of their publics, all of their followers. They're taking them straight to hell. They're dunking them in hell. They're throwing them to hell, straight to hell. And Rabbeinu is saying, the people that were crowning those rabbis are going to be punished even more. People that were crowning rabbis of lies, of false rabbis, they're going to be punished more. Why? Because that rabbi, he had Yetzer Hara. You know how much power there is in those places? You know how much money there is in those? Okay, can understand him that he's falling. There is a huge Yetzer Hara in those places. But you, what you will achieve? If he's going to be the chief rabbi of the world, what you going to gain from it? Nothing. What you going to gain? What you going to gain? To be number two, number three, number five? What? So you don't have no desire for that. You also want to be number one. So why are you doing it? You don't have no answer on that. It's just to be mean. To have Yetzer Hara. To have bad eye on people. Do you have a problem that someone else is going to succeed? Why you feel that sorrow that someone else is growing? Why? He's taking from you? Can someone take from you? The only reason that you suffer is because you don't have faith that Hashem is with you. You know why? Because Hashem is not with you. Because you have bad thoughts on your friend. This is why Hashem is not with you. Because Hashem mevakesh et hanirdaf. Hashem going to be with the one that people are chasing after him. The one that runs away. Even if a righteous man is chasing an evil person, Hashem going to be with the evil person. You're not allowed to chase no one. You're allowed to chase? Who are you to chase? And if you're chasing yourself, if in that moment you keep that decree on yourself, because when Gad HaChozeh came to Natan HaNavi came to David HaMelech and told him the story with Kivsat HaRash, with that sheep of the poor person. And David HaMelech said, Ben Mavetu, that person should die, the one that stolen that sheep from that poor person. So Natan HaNavi told him, you're the one. You're the one. You made a decree on yourself when you said that he should die. When you said a decree on someone else, you said that decree on yourself. How much we need to be afraid? I can open my mouth and to make judgments. Well, maybe you're the one. Maybe you're judging yourself now. Maybe you're doing exactly the same in a different place. They're asking you questions that you can answer on yourself. Why? That in judgment day you won't have no complaints. They're going to tell you, you said, yeah, why I wasn't married for so long? Why I didn't have Parnassah for so long? You made that decision. You made that decree. You have the same face exactly. You were cursing that person. You thought that he's Ishmaeli, and you were cursing that Ishmaeli. You were talking to that person. You thought that he's arrogant. You're arrogant also. You have your sides that you look exactly like that person. Why you think that you can talk on someone else? It's Yetzer Hara that fails you in Lashon Hara. Torah said, not allowed to talk Lashon Hara. And Rav Shalom said, the minister, Potiphar, it's written on him that he knew that God was with Yosef. And Potiphar was an evil person. He was a very evil, mean person. To throw a person to prison for life with no trial, just because you suspect him, and he knew exactly who his wife was, and he knew everything. He knew that Yosef was righteous, because the Torah is saying that he knew that God was with him, so he knew that Yosef was holy. And the Torah is explaining why, because Hashem, Hashem, Shagur Befiv, because Yosef always was talking, always mumbling and praying and doing it bodedut and asking Hashem, 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 all of the time. Hashem, Hashem was in his mouth. The name of Hashem, of the Creator, was in his mouth, all of the time. So he, Potiphar, he knew that God was with him. Because he saw that Yosef is succeeding in everything that he's doing. The brothers of Yosef. Okay, we can understand. In the beginning, Yosef was 17 years old. You had your Yetzer. You were also young. You were 20. He was 22. That one was 23. You had your Yetzer. You couldn't accept it. You were on the table of your father. Okay. But now, after years of tshuva, after years of regret, after all of that punishment, and you see now the greatness of Yosef, You see that all of his dreams were right. You see that he becomes to be the king. And he gives you food, and he mefarnes you, and he gives you everything. And you see that he survived because of his faith. And you see how huge he is. And now still you suspect him? After Yaakov passed away, they're saying to each other, hey, what's going to be now? Maybe Yosef, he's going to revenge now. Maybe... You don't see that Yosef is beyond all of those nonsense? You don't see that Yosef is not with you in your nonsense? The worst than Potiphar. They were worse in that moment than Potiphar. Potiphar could see that Hashem was with him, and they cannot. Why? Because of jealousy. Because having a bad eye. What do you care? Hashem wants him to be the king. What do you care? Hashem wants him. Hashem chose him to be the king. It's written that the Shekhinah was saying, it's written, Rashi is saying, that the Shekhinah was saying, we'll see what's going to be with his dreams. It's when the brothers threw him to the pit over there. So it's written that they said, let's see now what's going to be with his dreams. If he's going to be the king. Rashi is saying, the Shekhinah is saying that. Not them. Not the brothers said that verse. The Shekhinah was a voice from heaven. What it means, the Shekhinah said that. You think if you're going to throw him to prison, to the pit, to whatever, you can stop me from making, appointing him to be the king? You can stop my decisions? Now we'll see what's going to be with his dreams. His dreams were kosher. His dreams were in purity. How a person can come to that place that he knows that his dreams are kosher, that his will to serve Hashem Yitbarach in Mesirut Nefesh is accepted in the eyes of Hashem? Simple. Simple. The most simple thing in the world. If you know that you put it all on it, you should believe and to know that Hashem is with you. If not, if you see in yourself that you're a liar, if you judge yourself every day and you see that you're far, and that you don't care, and that you don't have Yirat Shamayim, you cannot expect Hashem to be with you. But if you judge yourself, and you see that you do the maximum that you're able to do, not that you succeed, the success is from Hashem, in the effort, in the will, you see that you want, you see that you pray, you see that you do tshuva, you should know for sure Hashem going to be with you. And if not, so you don't believe in Hashem. To think that Hashem will not going to be with the one that serves Him, it's the peak of cruelty. Can be a leader that's going to be more cruel than that? To send his soldiers to the wall and not to be there with them? If you fight the wars of Hashem Yitbarach, Hashem is with you. Don't worry. Don't afraid of nothing. Even a sharp sword is on your throat to cut you to pieces. Don't be afraid. It's all Hashem. Say, it's all Hashem. It's all Hashem. I don't look to the sides. I don't care. It can be him, it can be her. Rabbeinu is saying, even the righteous people themselves, the heathen righteous people, are coming to you and telling you, it won't happen, it cannot be, in the Sipurei Maaseiot, in the Lost Princess. You should be sure inside of yourself. No, she told me that she's going to be there, she's going to be there. I'm not listening to no one, to no one. When? Only when you had your conversation with her. Only when you had your Yid Bodedut and Hashem clarified something to you in the field. When you saw the light, when you clarified, you came to your Rebbe, you asked him, he confirms it, you heard it in class, you realize this is the real will of a Rav. This is the real will of Hashem. I saw it in my Yid Bodedut. I didn't make it up. I saw that Hashem answered my prayers. I saw that Hashem was guiding me. I saw when I came to Tzaddikim that they were telling me my prayers. That they saw in their divine spirit everything that I'm going through, and they were supporting me and pushing me. I saw it in my eyes. So now to back off? I will back off from serving my Creator? For my mission in life? I will never going to back off. Never. Because Hashem wants me to serve Him, and I believe that He can help me, and I believe that He will. And like that, everyone can succeed. And everyone, Rabbi David Chaim Stern told me that, every person have to desire, to have that desire that Hashem going to answer to all of his prayers. To all of your prayers. All of your prayers. If you're just going to aim yourself to the mercy of Hashem, tell Hashem, I'm not worthy, I'm not claiming to be worthy. I know I'm not. We're beyond that. I know I'm not. I'm asking from your mercifulness, from your mercy. have mercy. This is what I'm asking. Your mercy. Not on me, not with me. Because of you. Because you're good. Because you're kind. Reveal your kindness. Reveal your good. Show that you love us. Show that you care. Answer to all of our prayers. To all of our prayers. Listen to us. Come to us. Come back to Tzion. Because we're waiting for you. Matai, when are you going to come back to Tzion? When? Come, please, we're waiting. When Am Yisrael are not in their land, they're insulting Hashem Yitbarach because the gates are open. The gates are open, everyone can come. No one can answer, why you're not coming? It's all shtuyot. If we're surviving here, and the people that have money here, they have the worst problems of money here. Really? In Eretz Yisrael, if you have money, you're broke. This is it. They got you. This is it. 50% from your income went. This is it. No one is asking you at all. No one asks. People afraid on their own money, afraid on their own comfort, on their to have comfortable life like they used to. It's all shtuyot. Because kirvat elokim litov, when you're close to Hashem, then you feel good. Only then you can feel real, complete good. That you know that you fulfilled your obligation. Then you're happy. And then, in that moment, it doesn't matter if you're close to a huge rabbi, or that you're all alone, or if you're in the biggest, best yeshiva, or that you're outside. And it's not important if you're a Breslever, or if you're something else. If you're married, and if you're not. If you have children, and if you're not. If you're Jewish, and if you're not. It doesn't matter. Nothing matters in that moment. Nothing matters. Why? Because you have Hashem with you. And Hashem is with you no matter what. Just you need to believe in that. You need to fight on that. Day and night. Day and night to believe. I am good and Hashem is good. And Hashem wants my success. And Hashem wants me to grow. And Hashem wants everyone to succeed. And Hashem wants everyone to have faith and everyone to have money. And Rabbeinu is saying, how the kingship of Hashem Yitbarach being revealed in the world when Hashem Yitbarach is influenced bounty on Am Yisrael. Huge amounts of bounty on Am Yisrael. Then people can see that He's the King. But if you see that nation poor and broken and sick and wounded, you cannot say that their King is the King of the world. You cannot. But when you see all of them are rich, and all of them are Talmidei Chachamim, and all of them are heroes, and strong, and have families, and houses, and castles, backyards, swimming pools, then you say, wow, look at that nation. Their King is strong. Against all of our thoughts, against all of our plans, as Yomru Bagoyim, then the nation's going to say, Higdil Hashem La'asot Im Ele, with them, Higdil Hashem La'asot Imanu, that He was stopping us. Hashem was stopping the nations from damaging Am Yisrael. In that you can see that all of those Ishmaelim in Gaza, they were carving those, digging those tunnels for years, for 8 years. 8 years they were prepared to ruin us, to kill us. In last Rosh Hashanah, they were ready to ruin us. They prepared a horrible massacre in Am Yisrael, and they had a plan to come up from all of the villages together inside of Eretz Yisrael in the same time, in the same day of Rosh Hashanah that everyone like in Yom Kippur. Same mean plan to come all in one day through those tunnels and to bomb all of Eretz Yisrael and to jump from the villages. And Hashem, Rabbeinu said, Rosh Hashanah, Hashem gave it to me. They messed with Rabbeinu. Rabbeinu said, Hashem natan li et Rosh Hashanah as a gift. It's my day. You think you're going to ruin my kibbutz? You think you're going to ruin my Rosh Hashanah? Stupid people. You think you can ruin the Rosh Hashanah of Rabbeinu? He said, Hashem knows I haven't inherited for my ancestors. Hashem Yitbarach gave me Rosh Hashanah. And it's all ruined for them. Why? Because they were impatient. This is what you say, impatience.
Impatient.
Just went out and started to do balagan for themselves and ruin. Because of arrogant. They thought, now we're succeeding and we're growing and we're going to do this and that. Who are you? When you don't have faith. Like I told you, I said that Ishmaeli driver drove me in a taxi. I told him, even if you want Eretz Israel, okay, you want Jerusalem, no problem. Pray on it. Pray. You have huge masks. Go with all of your public. Go, the ministrations of Ganot. Go, scream to Hashem. You believe in Hashem, right? You daven 5 times a day. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. No problems. Go. Pray on it. That Hashem is going to give you Eretz Yisrael. Let's compete. Let's pray. Why are you killing poor babies? Are you slaughtering poor women? People, avrechim, Jews that are davening in Beit Knesset. You go, you slaughter people. Why? This is the way of Hashem. This is the way of the Creator. If you really believe in your tzidkat haderech, that your path is right, that Hashem is the Creator, He loves you more, no problems. Go to Him. Pray on that. Put all of your powers in tefillot. It's going to be a wonderful world. No problems. Everyone are praying to the same place, to Beit HaMikdash. It's going to be wonderful. Beti beti filai kara lechol ha'amim. House of prayer to all nations. What's the problem that you're going to pray to have a share also? I won't stop you. No, I'm going to stop you. If Hashem chose you, if Hashem will decide to give you, enjoy. Do I care that people live in amazing places in Nepal, in Hawaii? Do I care that they have amazing sea? How is the Retzuat Chof?
Beaches.
Do I care that you have so many woods and forests? Australia, you have amazing woods. You have such special view and nature is amazing in Arizona. And man, wonderful, I'm happy for you. I don't want your share. I don't want to take from what that belongs to you. When my mother told me to go and purchase the land in Colorado, I refused. I told her no.
It was a big deal, wonderful deal, the purchase to buy in Colorado.
I refused. Who wants to? I don't want to live there. I don't know this. There are people that wants to live there. There are people that wants to live there. Let them have it. Everyone gonna receive the nachalot, what that Hashem gives them. And it's also inside of Am Yisrael. Not only, especially inside. When Am Yisrael gonna be clean, all of the nations gonna be clean in that also. No one gonna want the land. If you see someone that is growing, you want his share. Why he bought that house? Why he's married with an amazing woman? Why he's got so much, I don't know, success in his limud? Why he's so close to a rav? Why he... all of that is nonsense. All of that is lies. All of that is lies. It's bad eye. Why you need to have a bad eye? Why you need to have a bad eye? Be happy. Samach bechelko. Be happy with your share. Ki chelek Hashem amo. Because the share of his nation, it's him. Because the share that you have, it's the Creator. This is your share. Your share, it's Hashem Yitbarach himself. This is your share. Hashem Yitbarach himself gives you whatever you have in your life. And he wants to give you more. What's more? More, it's spiritually and physically. Why the prayers are not being answered sometimes? You go and you pray and you need to pray again and again and again. Because there is certain kitrug. In heaven they say, that person is not worthy. This is that place that you just need to say thank you. That you just need to go to Hashem Bach and to tell him, listen, you don't owe me nothing. I owe you. I thank you. On my difficulties, I thank you. On my weaknesses, I thank you. On my poverty, I thank you. On all of my distance from my teacher, from my rabbi, from my holiness, from my success, from whatever, from my shuvadat, from my peace in the house, from whatever, for all of the judgments, I thank you. When you do that, no one can complain on those prayers. If you come to claim and you ask for things that they're going to give you, they can say, hey, it's not worthy to receive. And they're right. You're not worthy. I'm not worthy. We're not worthy. Hashem knows that we're not worthy. Just we're asking for the mercy of Hashem. Not because we're worthy. Because you're Rahman. Because you're merciful. So we're asking. But only after you praise Hashem with a complete heart and you accept all judgments and you say, Hashem, you are righteous on everything that I'm going through in my life, and I don't have no complaints and I don't care at all, and I love you and I'm going to keep on serving you.
with the world to come, without the world to come, with that Torah, without that Torah, with Arab, without Arab, in Jerusalem, not in Jerusalem, with the wife, without the wife, with the kids, without the kids. David HaMelech, when the Amalek kidnapped all of wife and kids of all of his 400 warriors, they were so angry on David. And they came to him, it's written on David HaMelech, Vayitchazek David b'Hashem Elokav. He was
strengthening himself
in Hashem Elokav, to know that Hashem, He is Elokim, that Hashem Yitbarach, out of His mercifulness, is bringing those judgments on them. And he was all alone, and he was screaming. And I told you that once. He was screaming to Hashem Yitbarach, and then in the end they went and they made a war with Amalek, and they brought all of the prisoners back to them, all of the women and children and everyone, and no one was contaminated at all. And in the generation of the Holocaust, one time the Nazis came and they took Mishloach from the
shipment
of women and children to the camps.
To the camps,
and the people came to the rabbi over there, and told them, what we're gonna do now without our children, without our wives? What we're gonna do? So he said, we're gonna do what the David HaMelech was doing. Hashem wanted us to serve Him with wife and kids, and now Hashem wants us to serve Him without wife and kids. So we're gonna serve Him without wife and kids, whatever Hashem wants. If you have questions, go ask, no problem. But to serve Hashem Yitbarach, you have to serve Hashem Yitbarach in the terms of Hashem Yitbarach. You have what to tell Him? Wonderful. You have a place to talk? No problem. Hashem is available, you can talk, you can complain, you can argue, you can pray, you can decide that you go until the end and you're not surrendering. No problem. If this is your decision, go for it. No one's going to stop you from wanting to achieve what that you want. No problem. No one's going to stop you from that. No one in the world is going to stop you. And davar ha'omed bifnei ratzon. Nothing can stop you from wanting Hashem Yitbarach. Nothing. That Hashem going to reveal His mercy, that Hashem going to be so kind, that Hashem going to cancel that decree. No one can stop you from wanting that. But also, not to stop serving Him. Also not to give up. Not to fall to sadness, to despair. No. They done to me this, they done to me that. My wife, she's so mean, she's so cruel. They kicked me, they insulted me, they hurt me. What are you? You're female. You're female. You've been insulted now. This is the time to be insulted now. This is the time to put all of your effort. I had a friend that his wife told him that she's going to divorce him and took the children and went out from the house. And I came to Arav. I told him, Arav, how are we going to help him? He told me, tell him that he should do 6 hours every day, every day. I told him, Arav, he gave up already. So he told me, now it's the time to give up. That we'll give up, that he will give up after she's going to come back to the house. Then he's going to have time to give up. Now it's a time of war. Now you have time to give up. And when Moshe Rabbeinu came to Egypt, in the beginning, just Paro was making the decrees even harder and harder. When a person enters into Avodat Hashem, so then the way is that they're showing to him that they're rejecting him, pushing him out. But it's a chizuk. You need to learn the chizuk. If they're trying to reject me from Kedusha, from holiness, from being close to Arab, from being close to Kedusha, it means that I am getting closer. It means that I am, and I'm not allowed to distract my thoughts, not to listen to the voice of Yetzirah that tells you that you've done something wrong. Judge yourself in the field. In the field, check yourself if you're clean, if you're not clean. Why all of those problems are coming at you? Why you have sufferings in your life? There's no suffering without a sin. Something I've done, something for sure. I need to check. I need to do tshuva. Hashem is working with me on something. I need to find the hints, what Hashem is talking about. No doubt. But in the field, not with people. With people, you need to be strong to be who that you are, to stand up on your what that you believe in, to what that Hashem Yitbarach clarified for you that it's the truth in Avodat Hashem. Things that already been clarified for you in the field and in classes of Arab. When a few months ago they threatened on me to throw me out from here, I came to Arab Shalom, I told him, Arab, bottom line, isn't my purpose in life to help all of the to lachzir et kol ha'olam kulo b'tshuva, to bring all of the world to do tshuva? Rav Shalom told me yes. So I told him, so that's what I'm going to do.
This is it. And from now on, I don't need to ask him on that anymore. Rav, should I do Afatza? Stupid question. Rav, should I go and to sell books? Most stupid question. Rav, should I go and give classes? What are you asking? You haven't heard of Rav's classes? Is it a question? Rav, am I allowed to open a site? Is it a question? Am I allowed to give classes in the world? Am I allowed to go to give classes? It's not a question. Rav, am I allowed to save the world? It's a question. Who asks? Who asks? Why to ask? If you're not sure at yourself. But when you're sure, when you're clarified, when you've done tshuva, when you have thousands of hours of prayers on that, when it's been clarified to you and you came and you asked and you've been answered, and you ask and you've been answered, and you ask and you've been answered, again, and this is it. You cannot escape from your purpose. When Noah tried to, when Yonah tried to avoid, to escape, Borei Olam dragged him back. A whale took him and brought him back to the place that he's supposed to give his prophecy to teach. You cannot run away from Hashem. Ana mipanecha evrach. How am I going to run away from you? You have a purpose in life. You have to keep doing what that Hashem wants you to do. And even if it's against your nature, and even if you'd rather to hide and to crawl and to hide under a rock for another 20, 70 years, you'd rather to hide and not to deal and not to confront with your fears and anxieties. What's the problem that you're going to say the truth? Is it not allowed to say the truth? Well, why? Lama makara. What happened that you're not going to say the truth? Because who are they that you were not going to say the truth? Harav is screaming that truth for years. I want everyone to succeed. I want everyone to grow. I want everyone to go and give classes. And no one allows to move. Why? Why are we going to listen to that voice of Yetzer Hara? Because they're claiming that they're not Yetzer Hara? For you, you're not Yetzer Hara. For me, you're Yetzer Hara. I have to ignore you. I have to keep on carving my way to Hashem Yitbarach, inside to myself, to fulfill my job, to complete my mission in my Avodat Hashem, to serve my Rabbi in Nesirut Nefesh with all of my powers that I have, and not to listen to the voice of everyone that they have time to talk to, all of those Medabrim, the ones that are talking. The Medabrim, the Zohar Kadosh is saying the word Medabrim means demons, Shedim. The one that talks are demons. They're talking, they are under the control of demons. This is why they talk. You have time to talk to on me? You have time? Why? How you found time to talk on me? How you found time to talk on me, Lashon Hara? To say bad things on me? That I'm doing everything that I can to serve Hashem in all of my powers, beyond my powers. In a crazy way that everyone that is a little bit close to me is going to testify. And every one of you can say the same on himself. If you're just going to get inside and find out who you really are inside, you're exactly the same. Each and every one of you. And you're going to say, I'm learning less. No, I'm davening less. I'm not doing like him. It's all shtuyot. It's all nonsense. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants your heart. If your heart is pure, so you're pure. No questions on you. You need to come to that first. Not to have questions on yourself. To work on your self-confidence. To be sure in Tzidkat HaDerech that your path that you're choosing is truth, is right. To know that you're trying to do the best thing that you can, and to have that confidence, Hashem going to be with me. Hashem always going to be with me. When I ask a huge thing from Hashem Yitbarach, and then I ask to myself, are you crazy to ask those things from Hashem? I don't have a problem to ask on things that are going to sound wild to everyone. I don't have a problem with it at all. This is me. And I said to myself, you're not going too far? Immediately I made tshuva. I felt like Hashem is saying to me, now you're going to stop asking? Why, have I ever disappointed you? Why that you're going to stop from asking for big things? I wasn't there for you every time that you needed me? Why that you're not going to count on me until the end? You want something huge, gigantic, enormous thing. Something that mamash is out of reach. Something huge. Cannot grab even what that you ask. And you ask on it. If you think that Hashem don't want to give it to you, it's your lack of faith. It's your lack of confidence in the love of Hashem Yitbarach. In the kindness of Hashem.
Hashem wants to save Am Yisrael, and He will. Hashem wants to heal all of the sick people, and He will. Hashem wants to marry all of the bachelors and to give houses to all of the world, and that everyone going to be healthy, and all of the nations. When the Egyptians are drowning, Hashem Yitbarach is rebuking the angels. My creations are drowning in the sea. Don't praise me now. I don't want to hear your praises. I love all of my creations. I love everyone. Ones that were torturing us, ones that were fighting with us, killing us in a mean way, and Hashem still got Rachmanut on them. Hashem got Rachmanut on all of the world. We need to believe in the Rachmanut of Hashem and to count on that. Thank you, Rabbi Isai, Chazak Uvaruch.